So every year in the Christian church here on earth, we follow the life of Christ, obviously. And of course, that began in Advent and Christmas, Jesus' birth. And we don't have a lot of info about Jesus' life after his birth. We get a few events when the wise men come. Jesus was probably about 2 when the wise men came. The flight to Egypt when Joseph, Mary, and Jesus had to go to Egypt to be safe. We know about that. And then Joseph and Mary lose Jesus at the temple. We know about that. And that's basically about it until the event that we're going to talk about today, which is the baptism of Jesus Christ. Who has been confused by this event? I can raise my hand. Why does Jesus need to be baptized? We'll get into that here in a second. This event has an immense deal of significance because it is prominently at the beginning of each of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So obviously they all want us to know about this event. So let's take a look at this in Matthew chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." All right, there are three phrases from the text that I just read that I want to focus on here this morning. And the first one is, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River. I have a map up here just to give us some context. You know I like maps. So up at the top is the Sea of Galilee, and that's where Jesus was. That's where Jesus grew up in Nazareth, around the Sea of Galilee up there. And so he goes down to that dot right above the Dead Sea. That's how far he travels. In between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea is the Jordan River. And that dot there in that area is where Jesus was, where he came to John the Baptist to be baptized. And this next picture here is when we went to Israel, we got to see the Jordan River. And this is the location in this area where Jesus would have been baptized by John the Baptist. So this is the river where John the Baptist was baptizing people. And people were coming to John because of his message, which was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." You know, isn't it odd that people were flocking out to this guy dressed in camel hair to confess their sins and be baptized by him when the temple in Jerusalem is where they went to make sacrifices to atone for their sins? And yet they are going out to hear John the Baptist, trudging out there to hear him speak and to be baptized by him. But see, this is the power of the word, God's word, which is what John was prophesying. So who exactly is John the Baptist? So we know a number of things from Scripture who this guy is. So Zechariah and Elizabeth were his parents. This is one of those women that was barren, but God provided a child for them, which was John. Elizabeth happened to be Mary's cousin, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, they were both pregnant. You probably remember the event of John leaping in his mom's womb, Elizabeth, when Mary was in the presence because she was carrying the Messiah. So we know that about John. So they would have been like second cousins, John and Jesus. Don't know if they hung out. They probably did growing up. We know that John is the last of the Old Testament prophets as we know them. He is the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah. He was prophesied about in the Old Testament. John was. They called him a new Elijah. And Jesus even referred to him as Elijah later on. He was a fire and brimstone preacher. He was the kind of preacher that was pounded on the pulpit and yelled at the people. But they went out and was baptized by him. Oh, and by the way, he also ate locusts and honey. So the goal of John's baptism was to produce repentance. And there was assurance of forgiveness. And this was, remember, before Jesus died on the cross. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, not the Christian baptism that we know. There's a difference. Jesus didn't institute Christian baptism until the Great Commission. Right before he ascended into heaven, he said, go baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. John wasn't doing that. He was just baptizing for repentance. The people were receiving John's baptism because they were sinners. They wanted to repent and be changed by God. And oh, by the way, God is the one that does the changing. So imagine John in the Jordan River. He's doing his thing. He's preaching fire and brimstone and baptizing people in the Jordan River, doing his thing. And Jesus shows up wanting to be baptized by John. So this, in my mind, brings up some questions. Does Jesus need to repent? Does Jesus need to be converted from unbelief to faith? Is Jesus among the lost sheep of Israel who needed readmission into the people of God? The answer is no to all of that. And John, we know from this passage, didn't want to do it. He didn't feel worthy. And I think we could all identify, right? He didn't think he should baptize Jesus. He thought Jesus should baptize him. So another thing, though, that we do learn about John, after his questioning and saying, no, you should baptize me, it says in our text here that John consented. John obeyed and baptized Jesus. So why does Jesus need to be baptized? This leads us to our second, the second phrase from this text. When Jesus said, let it be so now to fulfill all righteousness. You can imagine, Jesus tells John, yes, I know this is for sinners. I have come to put myself in the place of sinners alongside sinners. We're in this together, John. You see, Jesus' baptism is a concession of sorts. He is allowing it to happen because of his humility. Remember, this is the Son of God we're talking about here. Yes, true man, true God. But the Son of God coming to be baptized. But this is who our God is. Everything that God does is contradictory to what we think should happen or the way the world thinks. Instead of a crown and a robe living in a palace, Jesus gets baptized with sinners. Jesus identifies himself with sinners. don't underestimate how amazing this event is. Even though we hear it every year, don't underestimate it. This is huge. This tells us a lot about our Savior. Which leads us to the third phrase I wanted to focus on here. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So you can picture Jesus in the Jordan River with John. John puts him under the water, brings him back out. Jesus is baptized, and the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, in the form of a dove. And now the final piece of the Trinity shows up. Did you notice all three persons of the Trinity are a part of this very important event? The Father speaks. He is not speaking for the benefit of Jesus. Jesus knew why he came. This was for all the people to hear, including each and every one of us. And listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 42, by the way. Isaiah, who has lots of prophecies about the coming Messiah. Chapter 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Look at that amazing crimson thread action. Prophesying exactly what's going to happen when Jesus is baptized. This is God's Son. I can't say that enough. And the Father, our Heavenly Father, is telling us that this one is the one. The one and only Savior. You know, Israel, God's people, were called throughout the Old Testament, they were called God's Son, small s. He always referred to them as his Son. And God's Son, small s, let him down time and time again. And it's so easy for us to criticize those Israelites, isn't it? It can be kind of fun sometimes. But that's exactly what we do. We, sons and daughters of God, let him down time and time again, don't we? But now the true Son of God is here. He's on the scene. Jesus, God's Son, true man, true God, 100% man, 100% God, has come to be the representative of not just the nation of Israel, but all nations. Every single nation in this world. To be in the people's place, to be in our place. Jesus comes to be baptized in the place of sinners as the sinless Son of God to save God's Son, small s, to save us sons and daughters who is lost in sin. And you know what? We can take comfort in these words from the Father, because he's saying them to us too. How can we take comfort in that? Because what we should hear and what we deserve to hear from God is this. This is not my beloved child, because he or she is a rebel, a thief, a gossip, covets, lies, he or she is self-absorbed, he or she is sexually immoral, he or she is a worshiper of money, he or she is obsessed with themselves. This would be a fair verdict, wouldn't it? But this isn't the verdict on us. That is not our identity. All those things I just listed out, that's not our identity. Because Jesus identified with us sinners. We get to identify with him. And I love this passage from Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. The only difference is he didn't sin. Jesus knows what you and I go through each and every day. He knows our weaknesses because he experienced them too. That's who our Savior is. And because he identified himself with us sinners, we get to identify with him. And there's more good news. The Lord refuses to give up on you and me. We have the gift of holy baptism, which was just talked about during the children's message. If you ever want to know how God feels about you, look at your baptism. Each and every day we should remind ourselves of our baptism, because each and every day we are washed anew. We are a new creation. When we were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it's as if his divine name was tattooed right on us. We are his. The baptisms, we hand out that white cloth, which I don't know where I put. I had it. Oh, here it is. We hand out this white cloth to the person that has been baptized. This symbolizes the white robe of righteousness that we all are wearing now because of what Jesus did for us. Because he stood in the place of us sinners to take the wrath of God on our behalf. So another cool thing about Jesus' baptism, this is when Jesus' ministry begins. For the next 3 years, he's going to be healing, he's going to be teaching, he's going to be preaching. This is the beginning of God's plan of salvation for the people by literally standing with sinners, taking the place of us sinners in this together with us sinners. And Jesus is literally, at this point, carrying the sins of the world. He's carrying all your sins that you've ever committed, all the sins that you're still going to commit, all the sins that I've committed on his back, all the way to the cross where he bled and died for them. And because Jesus did that, you can hear God say to you this. You can put your name in the blank there. You, the Heavenly Father says to you, you are my beloved child with whom I am well pleased. Amen.